Christopher O'Reilly here, and one of our longtime allies in the world of youth and classical music has always been the Interlochen Center for the Arts in Michigan. Their famous summer camp and their year-round academy both attract some of the best young musicians in the world. We recorded this week's podcast from there, and you're going to love the sound of the academy's orchestra. And the show ends with a groundbreaking world premiere composed by an alum of both From the Top and Interlochen, Mike Thurber. Get ready for some serious music making.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Welcome. We're at Corson Auditorium at the Interlochen Center for the Arts in Interlochen, Michigan. Those of you who know of this famous place, situated in the gorgeous pines that make up the upper half of the lower peninsula of Michigan, sort of near the pinky of the mitten, probably are thinking of the Academy's older brother, the Interlochen Arts Camp, one of our country's best summer training grounds for teenage artists of all sorts. But the Interlochen Arts Academy is a school-year program offering full academics as well as intense training in artistic disciplines. And it's students at the academy that we're going to meet today. There will be an outstanding 17-year-old flutist from Dallas, a teenage clarinetist who's come all the way from Seoul to be here, and this rather impressive ensemble sitting behind me on stage. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Interlochen Arts Academy Orchestra and their conductor, Dr. Carolyn Watson. Carolyn, welcome. Your orchestra is featured in much of today's program, and we've even got you conducting a world premiere, yes?
Yes, that's right, Chris. The premiere is an aptly named concerto, I guess, The Three Musketeers for four soloists, in fact, by Interlochen alum Mike Thurber.
And alum of both From the Top and Interlochen. Lovely to see Mike again. He's gone on to do great things and to forge an impressive and varied career. That's the exciting finale for today's show. But to start things off, a famously bucolic piece befitting our natural beauty here in northern Michigan. Maestro, would you introduce this music?
Indeed. We're playing Smetana's tone poem, or part thereof, called the Moldau, referring, of course, to the famous river that goes through the Czech Republic.
Maestro, when you're ready, please take it from the top.
Thank you.
The Interlochen Arts Academy Orchestra, under the direction of Carolyn Watson, they performed The Moldau by Dietrich Schmettmann. Given how much we are going to hear from this orchestra as our show unfolds, we're going to take a moment now to talk orchestra stuff with a couple of its members. At the mics, we have Christopher Colby, 17 years old, from our nation's music capital, Austin, Texas. He's a trombonist, and he's known to his friends as Topher. And Aliyah Ultan, who's just turned 19, from Brooklyn, New York, represent one of the fabulous cellists in this orchestra and a composer in her own right. Both are Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. The Moldau has some great parts for brass. Yes, Topher?
Oh, yeah, indeed it does.
Some loud things, but you were telling me some more subtle things about this piece.
Yeah, I think particularly as a trombonist, you know, we get incorrectly categorized as a usual punch to the face in sound version. But the Moldau is a great piece in that it allows us to explore the softer dynamics as well. And in particular, there are some triads, you know, that really just lock in when you play them just right. And that's the kind of detail that you can hear in a great orchestra like this. And it's also why the Moldau is such a great piece to play.
I think the trombone is the most expressive of the brass instruments, you know,
with the
sliding and portamento, like the cello. Aliyah, the piece has that famous melody I know you've come to deeply appreciate. And as a composer yourself, you have a wonderful way of looking at this piece, the integrity between melody and harmony.
Yeah, the relationship between the melody of the Moldau and the harmony is really incredible because it's totally intertwined. You can't really have one or the other. They really depend on each other. It's a love affair. They cannot be separated. That's what really makes it a masterpiece, is that the texture and the melody that floats above that. I mean, he really can, it's every color you can think of. I like to think of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony and how you can never really sing the melody because it's so much about the harmony as well. And that's a lot like the Moldau, if you hadn't experienced it the way.
Harmony is really a part of it. And actually, you've both learned a lot about playing in orchestras. Aliyah, when you first came to Interlochen, harmony was not your strong suit. You were singled out.
Yeah. When I first came to Interlochen and sat down in the orchestra, it was my first ever experience playing in a large ensemble like this one. And Jungho Park actually singled me out and said, "Who are you?" And I'm sure he was joking, but I said, "Oh, I'm Aliyah." And he said, "If you keep playing that loud, I'm just going to put you behind the brass." So it's really understanding your own individual voice within the context of the voice of a multitude. It really has to change, but you cannot lose a sense of yourself. So both are important, the collaboration and the individual's voice.
And Topher, you have a great story of fitting in from before your time at Interlochen, when your ignorance of conductor standard operating procedure made some waves.
Yeah, just a quick background. This was back when I played euphonium. And also back in this day, I was quite judgmental. And I just despised the saxophone players. So I had a regional band. I had a regional band that I played in. And, you know, you auditioned to get into it. And we were all really looking forward to it. It was a great 2 days. And so I emailed the conductor the day before, and I said, "Dr. Gary Green, I have a single request, and that is that you put me, your principal euphonium player, by the trombones, the row back, because I do not want to sit with the saxophones." Yeah. And so he came, and he found me before the first rehearsal, and he came up, and he shook my hand, and he's like, "You're Mr. Colby, aren't you? I hope you're happy with your seating placement." And I said, "Oh, thank you. It's great to meet you, Dr. Green." And my friends are like, "What happened? Like, what did you do?" And I said, "Oh, I just, you know, asked to be put somewhere else." And of course, I've now found out that it is not okay. And hopefully I won't make that mistake again. But I found my way back into that row with the trombone, and all as well.
That's right, absolutely. Well, you stuck to your guns, and I think it all worked out very well.
That's right.
You know, the euphonium is actually one of our favorite instruments on the show, so it's natural you go from euphonium to trombone, and your euphonious voice, Topher, just wonderful.
Anyway,
great talking with both of you.
Thank you
for being with us, and great luck for the rest of the show. Topher Colby and Aliyah Ultan, teenage members of the Interlochen Arts Academy Orchestra.
The energy of this young orchestra here at Interlochen is thrilling to see as well as hear. Go to fromthetop.org to check out video of all the performers on our show. Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. We now have the pleasure of hearing one of the talented students here at the Interlochen Arts Academy perform a recital piece with me. This is 17-year-old Kennedy Wallace from Dallas, Texas. Kennedy, would you introduce the piece we'll be playing together?
We will be playing the Micinski Sonata for Flute and Piano by Robert Micinski.
Seventeen-year-old Kennedy Wallace performing the fourth movement of Robert Micinski's Sonata for Flute and Piano. Kennedy is another one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Kennedy, that was so wonderful because it's such a rhythmic piece. It makes such demands on us, and yet you have the rhythm, but also a very singing quality about your playing in every passage. It seems to come very easy to you, but you've had to get over listening to a rather harsh critic inside yourself.
Yes, and my teachers and lessons will tell me that that I'm not hearing what they're hearing. It's like I'm hearing something else that's coming from a different voice inside my head that's just telling me wrong things. And then I will go back and listen to the recordings and I will hear something totally different than what my head is telling me.
In addition to finding ways to be a little easier on yourself, you've learned a lot about how to practice effectively. What
Yes.
advice do you have? What sorts of things do you think are essential to good practice habits?
Well, when I was a young musician, I kind of struggled with learning how to practice because I don't believe I was taught properly, and I believe that's some of the struggles with young musicians. They don't really know how to practice or approach music. So I believe when you enter a practice room, you should be thinking about your routine. What are you going to do first? How is this going to happen? What goals am I going to try to achieve during this practice session?
You even say that getting the most out of practicing even means playing warm-up scales the right way. Tell us what the right way is to play scales.
And playing scales, when you're looking at a scale warm-up book, you shouldn't just look at black notes. You should try to understand the music within those scales. Play through the notes with passion and with great sound and beauty.
That's very good advice. Our good friend Sir James Galway says exactly that. Would you demonstrate the kind of scale playing you're talking about?
Yes.
Very eloquently played there, Kennedy. Very nice. Very nice. Very full of depth and passion. But, Kennedy, for me, you know, to really play a scale with passion, you need a piano.
Oh, wow.
Chris? Kennedy, I hate to interrupt.
Yes, Carolyn. Carolyn is our conductor of the Interlochen Arts Academy Orchestra sitting behind us. Carolyn, you have something to add?
Indeed I do. If you really want a passionate scale, then try this.
I think they've beaten us.
Kennedy, we've been schooled.
Yes.
But you threw down the gauntlet, and not only your passionate scales, but your passionate performance of the Muchinsky. Just
Thank
wonderful.
You.
Thank you for being with us, and best
Thank
of
you.
Luck. Kennedy Wallace, 17 years old, from Dallas, Texas. And now another student here at the Interlochen Arts Academy has come on stage to strut her stuff as soloist. From Seoul, South Korea, this is 17-year-old clarinetist Sarah Han playing Rossini's Introduction, Theme, and Variations.
Thank you.
Sarah Han, 17 years old, from Seoul, Korea, performed the introduction theme and variations by Rossini.
For behind-the-scenes stories, features on From the Top alumni, and videos of our wonderful young performers making music and getting out into the community beyond the concert hall, visit fromthetop.org/blog.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory, where young artists and teachers are transforming classical music. Online at necmusic.edu. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. jkcf.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Corson Auditorium at the Interlochen Center for the Arts in Interlochen, Michigan. Coming up, the world premiere of a new work for four soloists and orchestra, inspired by the classic adventure story, The Three Musketeers. Special thanks this week to Interlaken Public Radio, Interlaken Presents, President Jeffrey Kimpton, and the Interlaken students, faculty, and staff.
Of course, that's Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. That's the first piece I recall hearing played on the piano by my mother when I was 7 years old. I'm Jeremy Hassel, but you can call me JT. I'm 18 years old. We had a piano in my house as long as I can remember, but it was never used or even open. It just sort of sat against a wall. And then one night, after dinner, my mom just decided I should hear piano playing, so she got out her old score to Moonlight Sonata, and when I heard that, I realized that I was pretty interested in playing the piano too. And then I saw this cartoon. I was watching TV with my family when this episode of Tom and Jerry came on, the one where Tom's playing the Liszt Second Hungarian Rhapsody and Jerry's running around inside the piano. And I wasn't that advanced of a pianist at that time, and my uncle knew this, but he said to me anyway, you should learn to play that piece. So I had no idea it was this really difficult virtuosic showpiece, so I just got the music and started working my way through it. The other thing I did that helped me develop my passion for music at an early age was singing in the Amarillo Boy Choir. That's Amarillo, Texas, where I'm from. Being in that group gave me the chance to do some amazing things. We sang at the Vatican in Rome, and we did a concert in Carnegie Hall. And even though I eventually ended up focusing on the piano, it was in that choir that I really got to know the nuts and bolts of music. And I still love to sing. I'm in two choirs here at Interlaken. One of the greatest things about being a musician is getting to really connect with the audience. Last year, I played at the Holocaust Memorial Center at a college near where I'm from, and I performed the 7th Piano Sonata by Victor Ullmann, which was composed by Ullmann while he was at the Theresienstadt concentration camp. After the performance was over, a man walked up to me and introduced himself. He was the man the center was named for, who was a soldier who helped to liberate the Theresienstadt camp. Having that chance to meet someone who had sort of lived in the context of the piece I was playing really made the music connect with me in a way that music hadn't before. And now I hope to connect with you as I play the Allegro Vivace from Bartok's 3rd Piano Concerto. I'll be accompanied here by the Interlaken Arts Academy Orchestra under Maestro Carolyn Watson.
J.T. Hassel, 18-year-old pianist, performed the final movement of Béla Bartók's Third Piano Concerto with the Interlochen Arts Academy Orchestra under Carolyn Watson. Well, J.T., we should also mention that we got you here on this program from your winning the concerto competition so here at Interlochen, so congratulations there as well.
Thank you.
For the five performance. JT, you were raised by an English teacher, and you say that's deeply influenced you.
Yeah, and in a really literal way, it's influenced me. If you've ever read To Kill a Mockingbird, Scout Finch's older brother, Jim, his full name is Jeremy, and that's where I got my name, Jeremy.
That's right. So you've read a lot? You continue to read a lot?
Yeah, I do. Not as much as I did when I was younger because, you know, you get further in school and there's more required reading, less time for pleasure reading, but I try to make time to do some reading I enjoy. Actually, an author I've come to really love lately is Leo Tolstoy, which I've also found has influenced my playing of Russian music, like Rachmaninoff, who really admired Tolstoy. And that I think applies to all music, that composers don't write in a vacuum, and you know, all art reflects the culture that it comes from.
Well said and well played. Thank you, JT.
Thank you.
Bravo. JT Hassel, 18-year-old pianist from Amarillo, Texas.
Podcasts are from the top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org.
Now it's time to meet our featured guest, an alum of both From the Top and the Interlochen Arts Academy. When we first met this fine fellow, he was an absolutely outstanding teenage bass player, but we had no idea of the great things he'd go on to accomplish in addition as a composer in his still very early career. He's written music for the Royal Shakespeare Company and New York's Public Theater, as well as the musical Goddess, which was accepted into the Eugene O'Neill Music Theater Conference. He co-founded and was music director of YouTube's CDZA, Collective Cadenza, which in 2 years generated 26 million views of its one-take reversionings of popular music. And now he's returning to classical music with this appearance on From the Top as the composer of a new work for four jazz soloists and orchestra. Please welcome the now 28-year-old Michael Thurber. Mike, so great to have you back into house.
Hey, it's good to see you, Chris. It's been too long, man.
I know. I want to dig a little deeper into that incredible theatrical breakthrough I just mentioned, because I think it'll be revealing and inspiring to the kids who appear on this show and want to make a career in music for themselves. You wrote music for a co-production of the Royal Shakespeare Company and New York's Public Theater. There you are, primarily a bassist. How did you get the gig of writing music for this production?
So I was on the track when I was at Interlochen of being a professional bass player. My dream was to be the next Edgar Meyer. And as I got older, I started to realize that there was actually a lot more I was interested in than just playing bass. And at the same time I was realizing that, I actually got an arm injury. So I wasn't able to play at all for almost 2 years. And I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. So I thought, man, now is the time to take composing more seriously. I'd always been writing since I was like 15 or 16. But I had never thought that that would be the main thing that I would do. And suddenly with this arm injury, I was like, well, man, now it's time to make that happen. So I just sort of started to really study. And all the music that I always loved, instead of just listening to it and appreciating it, I would listen to it and actually try to figure out why it sounded that way. And little by little, it just started to make sense. And as I started to get better and better at it and more comfortable with my own voice, the world just kind of responded. And I started getting more and more opportunities. And then before I knew it, bass playing was sort of like a side thing, and composing was the main thing. Now with theater, it all really started when I met a very good friend, a theater director in New York named Sahim Ali, who's actually in the house tonight. And it was through that relationship that I started to write a lot of theater and met more and more people and built up my resume until eventually I met Terrell McCraney, who is the director of that project with Royal Shakespeare Company.
Speaking of opportunities, you have a fantastic piece of advice for young musicians just starting their careers and considering fracturing and breaking off into other aspects of music. Tell us.
When you're young, say yes more than you say no. It's, you know, I think it's always important to stay open-minded just all the time as an adult, too. But when you're a kid, you don't know what's going to happen. And this is a wild business. You know, it's an amazing business, and it's funny the way stuff happens. And it always happens by serendipity or by a friend of a friend or just some weird random thing. And the more open you are to that, the more amazing things can happen. And also, you end up finding a lot of talent that you have that you might not have known that you'd had if you had stayed sort of, you know, blocked in. But if you just sort of let go and you try stuff out, you surprise yourself more times than not.
Okay, this piece called The Three Musketeers, A Play for Instruments, written for orchestra and multiple soloists. Where did the idea for this piece come from? Your experience in theater?
Yeah, I think definitely it had a lot to do with theater. And also, the main inspiration was the guys that you're going to see play tonight. They're all very good friends, and what we have in common is that we all like a lot of different styles of music. We all have backgrounds in the conservatory in classical and jazz music, but we love everything, and we're very much into modern pop music, and we're really trying to address all of those inspirations sincerely and not pretend that we're not into some stuff. We really want to try to find a way to embrace all the things we love. And so that's what really inspired the piece, was wanting to find a home for all of these incredible musicians that are maybe a little bit outside of the box in the concert hall.
Okay, now our extraordinary soloists, as D'Artagnan, the outstanding violinist, great friend and alum of From the Top, and fellow creator of Collective Cadenza, Charles Yang. As Aramis, the superstar jazz pianist and composer, Chris Bowers. As Porthos, the great young clarinetist and Interlaken alum, Mark Dover. And Mike, I guess your bass stands in for Athos, the third musketeer.
That's me.
And pianist Chris Bowers has joined us at the microphones. Chris, one of the fantastic things about this composition is that within the context of the symphony orchestra, Mike has really written for the idiomatic skills of all of you soloists. Mm-hmm. Where do your quite incredible improvisational chops come into play in what we're about to hear?
Yeah, well, what Mike did was really bass... my whole section off of my music, actually, kind of the harmonies that he chose, even though I'm a jazz piano player, they're not traditional jazz harmonies either. And they're definitely harmonies that I enjoy playing over. And so my solo section, and actually I think all of our solo sections just say, go off, bruh. That's all it says. It says, go off, blues man, wild man. And we have to interpret that. And, you know, and because I feel like I am a blues man on the inside, it's pretty easy to interpret.
Yeah, there you go. I want our listeners to know that they can download the full version of this premiere performance at fromthetop.org. Okay, All for One and One for All. These are portions of The Three Musketeers, A Play for Instruments by Michael Thurber. Thank you.
Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. Orchestra mix by Rob Cracknell. Thanks to Rory Baker for all his help. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from Fluid Review, an online application management software. Fluid Review helps academic institutions and nonprofit organizations empower their scholarship, grant, and award programs. Learn more at fluidreview.com. From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. Learn more at knightfoundation.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org. And now, as a special extra for you as a podcaster, my unedited break piece from the show. I'm Christopher O'Reilly, and this is Johannes Brahms' Intermezzo, Opus 117, No. 3 in C-sharp minor.